Back on Downtown here on a Wednesday afternoon. Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt here with us to begin our annual look back at some of the favorite books we've talked about this year, but well, even beyond that period of time.
Yeah, what I decided to do was do it by sport rather than try and write. So we're going to do hockey novels and poetry to start out. We will cover baseball, football, basketball. We will cover running and cycling. Those are the biggest ones we have with it, and there's some others. But what I wanted to do is look at how these books progress one to the other. And I can do that with hockey. I don't know if I'm smart enough to do it with the rest of the stuff, but since I teach hockey lit, I'm pretty good with this. And I chose not to do the nonfiction books right away because that's a different kind of animal. No one would want to probably buy and read all of these books. I have. I think they're all great books. But what happens with hockey literature that's different from, I think, anything other than perhaps baseball and football literature. I don't know basketball, old-time stuff well enough. Is somebody writes a book and then someone says, well, I want to write a book, but I want to write a different book. And in hockey, back in the early 20th century, there's a book called Glengarry School Days, which we talked about in the air. Don't rush out and buy it. But it's that book, that old muscular Christianity book from the late 1800s when men were men and girls knew their place and everybody is wonderful and everything works out as long as you're of Northern European stock. And then there was Scott Young came along, Neil Young's dad, and he's a well-respected Canadian journalist and fiction writer. And he wrote the Bill Spunska books, which took a World War II family. They were a family that were parted by World War II. They end up in Canada. I'm not going to go through the whole story. But it's a real Horatio Alger kind of, if you work hard enough, you can get there. Everything will work out as long as you work really hard and you become a Canadian and you learn to play hockey. What happens after that is that everybody who's writing about hockey starts saying, that's not how it works. No matter how hard you practice, you don't make the NHL in 2 years out of high school. It doesn't work that way. So a series of books, and these are books that I all teach. The Last Season by Roy McGregor, The Good Body by Bill Gaston, King Leary by Paul Quarrington, 20 Miles by Kara Headley, are all books that react to that, to try and say, you know, this has got to be for everybody, but you don't become magically something because you like a particular game or sport. You know, if I suddenly, out of the blue, I was hit by lightning and I decided I liked soccer, that wouldn't make me English, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so what, and I will, again, I'll post these books at some point on our Facebook page. But they progress along and they interview and investigate more and more different things. Kara Headley's 20 Miles is about a women's college hockey team. Lynn Cody, who's a very well-established Canadian writer who has won the Giller Prize, her book The Antagonist looks at the enforcer. Salvage King's Ya by Mark Anthony Jarman, who teaches up at the University of New Brunswick in Fredericton, great guy, excellent writer, looks into hockey in a more modern era and what does it really mean? Does it define you as Canadian? Then Indian Horse by Richard Wagamese is a well-respected book about residential schools and hockey. I won't go into that. And then there are two books that we had more recently, one called Searching for Terry Punchout, which we really love, by Tyler Hellard. Really good book about a young man coming home to rediscover hockey and family and the like from Western Canada to the East. And then a really daunting, in a sense, terrifyingly good book, A Mighty Oak by Jeff W. Benz, looks at the life of an enforcer and what happens. And you think of Derek Bogard and some of the enforcers that have died young, either from suicide or the result of CTE. And the things that in Glengarry Glen Ross and Boy on Defense you'd never see. No one would ever discuss those kinds of hits or those kinds of things that happen. There's no fighting. There's no violence. So hockey is a sport where we can read the literature starting really in my grandfather's lifetime forward to where we are today. And that's only a partial list of the great books. The Divine Ryans is another one by Wayne Johnson. the five-hole stories by Deb Bundini are pretty interesting, but we can't go into that too deeply. But poetry is really something that hockey has a lot of. And I just want to mention three collections. Night Work, the Sawchuck Poems by Randall Maggs.
Oh.
Randy's been a guest of
ours. Oh, that was so good.
Phenomenal book. The Hockey Player Sonnets by John B. Lee, who was with us in studio when we were at Seasons. And The Hero of the Play by Richard Harrison, which is maybe in some ways it's my favorite of the shorter collections of poetry. As I say, I'll figure out from Carrie how I put this up on the website for people later, because that's a lot to take in. But it's really important, I think, to understand that A Mighty Oak is the only one of these books set in the United States. And yet, there was when the original six hockey teams were around, only two of them were in Canada. And when you think about it, it's really sort of interesting that today, it's very difficult to get American writers and published or American musicians onto Canadian labels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want Canadian content,
right,
to protect Canada. But it sure is interesting how when there were only six hockey teams, almost everybody was from Canada.
Yeah.
Right? The other thing that these books do is they illuminate the differences in the way people think in different parts of Canada about hockey. A lot of the books answer Scott Young's idealism of Winnipeg as the place where that happens. The Good Body actually takes place, the book starts just a little bit north of Bangor on I-95, and it's mentioned as Bangor. But all of these books are about hockey, but they're about something else. And that's what I think is the hallmark of sports literature, and those are the books that we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. What are the books that address hockey in a bigger sense? Anybody can write a book about a hockey team. But to write a book about the individuals on that hockey team and culture and identity and the like is a little difficult. So when this whole list is done sometime later in the month, we'll get it up on the website. But next week, we're going to talk about baseball.
Love it. Looking forward to it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.
Bruce not going.